Okay, so what's going on in the world of business tax? I'd like to start by quickly reviewing corporation tax. And again, chancellors like rabbits out of the hat on budget day. It's part of the magic, it's part of the theatre. And he announced that we would actually be getting to a 20% all up. That's a unified CT rate, 20% from April 2015. Now, if you remember, in the Autumn Statement 2012, the government announced that the CT main rate would be reduced to 21% for the financial year that began or will begin on the 1st of April 2014. And what he's added to that is it's now going to go down to 20% with what is now being referred to as the new unified corporation tax rate. That's being set at 20%. And note, folks, that's for all businesses. It's very important that we understand that. That's for all businesses. So there will be no main rate, no marginal rate, and no small profits rate. It's going to be a unified rate. Now, that's obviously going to lower the tax bills of the 40,000-odd businesses who have profits over 1.5 million and pay the main rate of corporation tax. And HMRC reckons there's about another 40, 41,000 who are in the margin. And the rest of them are at the small profits rate. And obviously, most AAT members are sort of operating in the SME space. And that means that we're beyond the small profits rate. The obvious corollary of having a unified CT rate is that the stuff about associated companies, which we've all slightly been anxious about in the past, you know, husband has a company, wife has a company, are they associated? All of that, presumably, will disappear from the 1st of April 2015 because everyone's going to be paying tax at the same rate. Now, it's not quite that simple, but I mean, as far as we're concerned now, and there's a long time to go between now and the 1st of April 2015, but I'd say that across the spectrum, that actually looks quite good. Now, if you try and ask, well, what's the Chancellor trying to do here? Well, it's dead simple, isn't it? He's been on this corporate roadmap for quite a while now, and he's just trying to make the UK PLC, more attractive for overseas investors. Remember, when people come in from outside the UK, they only, in effect, ask two questions. What's your corporation tax rate and what is your top rate of personal income tax? And if you do a quick table on that and compare the UK with the rest of the world, historically, it hasn't done very well. And George Osborne is determined to make us more attractive. And I think that's laudable. So although it doesn't immediately affect the SME space that we mostly operate in, I think it's very, very helpful. And I think it will have the desired effect. Okay, well, that's as much as I want to say about corporation tax. What I want to do now is to have a quick look at cash accounting. Because we've had some changes to cash accounting, and I'd just like to very quickly remind ourselves about where we are on this. Cash accounting was first mooted a couple of years ago by the Office of Tax Simplification, and it was announced in Budget 2012 that it would go to consultation. And effectively, there are two bits to this. The first is that it means that small unincorporated businesses. It's essential we remind ourselves about that point. It is only for unincorporated businesses. Small unincorporated businesses operating below the VAT threshold, and we'll come onto that a little bit later in this podcast, will be allowed to do what a lot of them in effect do already, which is to operate their accounts on a cash basis. So, two parts. There's the cash accounting. The government's rationale for this actually is not in respect of represented taxpayers, the people like AAT members and ATT members who are and others who are acting. They don't have a problem with that. It's the people who, in effect, act for themselves. And the government reckons that there's a fairly reasonable proportion of what they amusingly call their customers who do not have an agent, and they reckon the numbers as high as 30%. So that means 30% of the self-assessment tax returns they get in are from unrepresented taxpayers. And it's that that they are really leaning towards, because they're saying, in effect, most of these do their accounts and their tax on a cash basis, so we might as well recognise that and let those people, particularly those people, just basically carry on. But of course, the impact on us is that we have to make judgments and have to help our clients make judgments as to whether that's a sensible thing for us to do. In other words, if we've been just grown up and used to doing things on an accruals basis, now we have to consider whether to go into cash accounting. And I might add that, of course, it's purely voluntary. I think the other point to make too in this informal podcast is to remind ourselves there are actually two parts to cash accounting. There's cash accounting, and there is a simplified basis for some other expenses, things like cars and home, use of your home as an office and so forth. Those are all going to be captured under the second part of cash accounting, which is the simplified expenses basis. Now, we will be looking at this in a little bit more detail on the tax update series, but suffice to say now that we are getting towards it. We've got the draft legislation up. There have been one or two changes since the draft legislation was introduced in the autumn statement in late 2012. But as far as I can see, they're not particularly significant. It's about when you actually have to leave cash accounting. It was originally proposed that once you got to twice the VAT registration threshold, you had to leave. But the latest budget announcement seemed to suggest that you can leave as and when you want to. So there's a bit of a question mark over that one. And I will wait till we have the committee actually having a look at that, the finance committee, in order to get the complete resolution on that. Right, so let's be clear about who cannot use the cash basis. Some businesses are specifically excluded from using the cash basis. Companies, partnerships where they have corporate partners, limited liability partnerships, and then one or two others. If you're into farming, as I am, businesses with a current herd-based election, and people who are able to do profit averaging, and that they tend to be farmers, although they can be creative artists as well. Okay, so just a little bit of detail on that, and there's no major changes here. There are some tiny changes, but I don't think that it changes the main thrust of what we're going to be talking about. One of the disadvantages of the cash basis is that if you get a loss in your trade, you can't do sideways loss relief on it. You can only carry the relief forward against the same trade. So that's clearly a disadvantage for it. Okay, now the other angle that I want to talk about in terms of the cash basis is the proposed disincorporation relief. If you are a person coming into business for the first time in 2013, if you decide to be an unincorporated business and operate cash accounting, that's absolutely great. But supposing you're an already existing business, wondering which way to go, and for this part of the conversation, let's assume that you are a company. And you rather like the idea of going on to cash accounting because, as we know, there are some disadvantages of being a company, the principal one being the extra administrative load. So how does this disincorporation work? The government is keen to say to people with small companies, yes, I know you've had it good for a long time, I know they've been very exciting, but if you want to leave being a company, then come on in, the water's nice and warm, and this is what we're going to do for you. The disincorporation relief effectively is saying that within certain limits, if you've got a company and you want to return the assets of the company to the shareholders, then you can do so without an adverse tax charge. Now, the two main issues that we're likely to be talking about here are property within the company and goodwill. Now, let's be clear about those two points while we develop this conversation. The first point is in respect of property. I think by and large, I've always been of the view, and I know that this view is shared by a lot of AAT members, that it is, generally speaking, unwise to put property into a company because you've got the so-called double tax effect. And if we've incorporated correctly, and certainly on the basis of the tax update series that we've done over the last few years, you'd probably want to keep the property outside the company, in which case this part of the problem disappears, because if there's no property in the company in the first place, we don't have a problem getting it out again because it's never been in the first place. The only other issue is goodwill, because we've played the goodwill game and we know how to work that one effectively. We know how to generate the goodwill. We know how to sell it to the company. We know how to play the capital gains tax game. So it's likely to be in respect of the goodwill issue that we need to just devote our attentions for a moment or two. The proposed disincorporation relief, which will be on or after the 1st of April 2013, incidentally, this is only for 5 years, so it's going to run between April 2013 and the 31st of March 2018. So what it means is that if you come out of being a company and back into being a sole trader, then you've got this 5-year window in which to do it. Incidentally, you'll need to make a claim. And it's going to be a joint claim between the company and the people who are receiving those business assets, the so-called qualifying business assets, which, as I said, effectively going to be property and goodwill. So if I'm coming out, another point I think that's worth making here is that disincorporation relief is only designed to relieve the company from tax charges. If there are any tax charges on the individuals, the shareholders receiving the assets, then they are not relieved in any way. So I think it's just worth emphasising here that it's really a company relief and not an individual relief. If you remember, when you go into a company, it's actually the other way around. We're looking for reliefs for the individuals when they actually place their assets in the company. So what conclusions do we draw from cash accounting and the proposed disincorporation relief? Well, I think at the end of the day, the conversation should now go towards business structure. Now, I will be looking at this briefly in a separate podcast, which I will do, which accompanies this main podcast. But effectively, the 2012 and 2013 announcement puts this whole choice of trading medium into the limelight. And I will be dealing with that in a separate podcast. But I think, to my eye, it's not a straightforward decision. I don't think that the existence of cash accounting and the disincorporation relief will really change the decisions that we make. I mean, never say never. There will always be people who will be attracted to this. But generally speaking, I don't think that really changes the game in a great way.